Okay. Today, obviously, after our message here, we're going to have a baptism of Case Bryant. Case has come to know the Lord. He became a believer, accepted Christ as his Savior on October the 6th, 2024. That date's right. Right, Chris? Okay. All right. So we will have that after the message here. Also, we've got a surprise, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, just to prove to Patsy Pope I can keep a secret. So, but trust me, it's going to be worth the wait, I promise you. Now, the last couple of weeks, we have done a series, and we've spoken about the manifold results of salvation of grace through faith. So the question is, what is your position as a believer? What do you possess when you believe? What is your spiritual, your heavenly position? We have to see ourselves the way God sees us. So our question is, how does God see us? How does God see me? How does God see each one of you individually? And there are 14 results that we can find, 14 positions that we have, results of positions from believing in grace through faith. So the second that Case gave his heart to the Lord, that he believed the gospel, that he became a believer, all 14 of these he possessed. Okay? Now, a couple that we've looked at already, we know he's saved. Okay? We don't have to go into what that is. We know. He's justified, just as he has never sinned. He's justified. That's how God sees it. No matter how he slips up, no matter how we slip up, no matter how I slip up, God sees me just as I've never sinned. Justification. Redemption. I was justified freely by his grace through redemption. And remember, we said in the Greek, redemption had two meanings. Lutrosis, the payment. Christ made the ultimate payment on the cross. That was the verb. Okay? And now we have release from our sins, release from a life apart from God because of that payment. Okay? Last week we talked about sanctification. Okay? We said that was hagiosmos in the Greek, to make holy, the process of advancing in holiness. Use of the believer being progressively transformed by the Lord into his likeness. David Hastings sent me a text this week that I thought was great, that had to do with that. And it was something that he'd done in his study that he found. And the individual said, sanctification does not occur by clenching your fists, gritting your teeth, squinting your eyelids, and committing in your own strength to, quote, do better. Sanctification, like salvation, is a supernatural work where only God can do something supernaturally, of the Spirit of God within you to progressively conform you into the image of Christ. If you are feeling stunted in your spiritual growth, perhaps it is because you are attempting to live for God in your own strength as opposed to relying on the power of His Spirit, whom Jesus said abides with you and will be in you. He said, what do you think about that? And I said, yeah, I could have said that last week and saved us 40 minutes. So that's exactly what we had said. That's what it is. It's not through what we do. It's Christ and God's work within us. We have to let God be God and get ourselves out of the way. So today, something else that Case and the rest of us have is we are forgiven. So turn to Colossians 2:13. Colossians 2:13. We are forgiven. And there was a lot to be forgiven for, because we are the seed of Adam. Not only have we sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned, we were born into sin. Chuck Missler used to ask the question, Are you a horse thief because you steal horses, or do you steal horses because you're a horse thief? Which one is it? Okay? Do you steal them because that was in your nature? Or did you just start stealing and then it became you became one? What was the reason? Well, we were born into that, plus the things that we do does not help things, that doesn't help any matters at all. So Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. So stop right there. Keep your finger right there. Mark it. Turn to Romans 3. And we're going to go back to Colossians 2:13. But Romans 3, 19 and 20 parallels perfectly. So we were a couple things against us. Number one, we were dead in our sins. There's no doubt about that. We were dead spiritually, which was going to lead to physical death, was going to lead to eternal separation from God. We had those strikes against us, and guess what? Because of the uncircumcision of our flesh, we were not spiritual Israel. The commandments did not apply for Gentiles, okay? It didn't apply. We couldn't be found in right standing with God for a momentary basis because of animal sacrifice. We didn't have any of that going for us. So strike one, we're dead in our sins. Strike two, the uncircumcision of our flesh. God was not dealing up until the grace age with anybody but Israel, except on very few accounts. Now, on Romans 3, 19 and 20. Now go back. And you being dead in your sins, the circumcision of your flesh. So stop right there now in Romans. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. So who was under the law? Circumcision. Israel. We were uncircumcision. Those who were not Jewish. Okay? We were not under the law. So the law did not speak to us. Okay? Paul talks constantly. He's going into the pagan cultures. These churches steeped in idolatry. The Jews called Israel dogs. Pagans, the uncircumcised, for a reason. That's the way they live. Okay? So they're under the law. So that every mouth may be closed and all the world may be accountable to God. So what's that mean? It's for Israel, but the circumcision, but all the world's accountable to God. What are we talking about here? Because by the works of the law, none of mankind will be justified in his sight. Okay? The law may not have been to me. If I'm living back in that age, in Old Testament times, okay? But had I broken the law more times than you can count, okay? More times than you can count. I was in a contest to see how many of them I could break in one day. A lot of us were. I had, Missy will get a kick out of this, Thursday night, first middle school game. Vincent Yarborough is the boys coach for Summertown. Vincent was an All-American at the University of Tennessee, played for the Denver Nuggets in the NBA. I coached Vincent and then years ago at AAU when he was a teenager. Vincent knew me well. I used to go to Cleveland, Tennessee, pick Vincent up, take him to practice, take him to games. Wherever he went, I picked him up. We spent a lot of time in the car. I've not seen Vincent lately, maybe one time in 20 years. Okay? So he wanted to know if I was coming. He went by to see Missy two or three times. And Missy happened to throw it in. Oh, by the way, he's speaking at church. And Vincent went, what? What? He said, so he knew how I was. He knew that. He saw that. He had to do a double take. Chuck Benson, who's one of the best friends I've ever had, grew up with him. I worked with him. He was the head coach at Martin Methodist. I was assistant coach. We've not seen each other in years, but we text. When I text him that I was speaking here at church, and we probably sent 20 texts back and forth, and I text him, I looked down my phone, I giggled, he's calling. He said, this one deserves a phone call. So we had broken all the law, okay? We were not justified in his sight because we had broken all the laws, even if it wasn't to us, okay? But through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Here's the biggie. The law had no power to save. That is why the death, burial, and resurrection made us alive and forgave us of all our sins, past, present, and future. There was a commercial, I think it was for some kind of like tax advisor, financial advisor. This guy goes in the dentist chair. He's sitting in there, you know. And the dentist looks at him and he says, you've got three cavities and you need a root canal. And he said, okay, when are we going to start? And he says, oh, we're not. I just tell you what's wrong with you. I don't do anything else. The bill will be up front. So that's what the law was. It could tell you what was wrong with you, but it couldn't perform the operation. That's where Christ comes in. Now, turn back to Colossians. Now, we were dead in our trespassing and sin. We're going back to verse 13 and 14. We're going back to the same place. Okay? So we're dead in all that, but he hath quickened us together with him. Now, we were dead in our trespasses, but he's quickened us. What's quickened mean? Made alive. The moment, the second, the millisecond that Case gave his heart to the Lord, he became a believer. Spiritually, he was made alive. He went from spiritual death to spiritual life like that. Okay? Well, what about, does he not have to go through a bunch of classes or something like that to become members of the church? Doesn't he have to do that first? No. His baptism today does not mean this is done to save him. If the Lord would have come back 5 seconds after he gave his heart to the Lord on October the 6th, he'd be with Christ. Amen. He'd be with God. It had nothing to do with this. This today is a public statement by him of that decision. Okay? Had nothing to do with that. All right? So he's made him alive together with him, forgiven you all your trespasses, past, present, future. Past, present, future. We have a hard time forgiving ourselves. One advantage Case will have of giving his life as a young person to the Lord is he's not going to have all this guilt he's going to have to fight through. Of things he did, of why he lived apart from the Lord. You know, it bothers me every day that the Lord loved me enough to go to the cross and suffer the pain and the humiliation and the torture and took my sins on him and died the most horrific death you can imagine. He would have done it for me if I was the only one. And then I didn't want anything to do with it. Couldn't stand the thought of it. And I have guilt over that. I have guilt over other things. Okay? We can't forgive ourselves a lot of times, and once we do, it takes time. And Christ gives us like that. I snap my fingers a lot when it comes to grace. That's how quickly it's done. So, every sin now, every sin before, every sin now, every sin in the future. Okay? He's sealed. He'll be in heaven. There's no doubt about that. Okay? Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. So yeah, we had ordinances against us because we were not in fellowship with God through Christ. We had all this against us. Everything the law says that you've done and you've done wrong, we had all that against us. Ordinance against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. I love how he says, nailing it to the cross. Benford Times says it all the time. When people ask, well, I wonder what this person saved or this person really gets saved. And Benford says, I want to know one thing. I ask one question. What have you done with the finished work of the cross? Do you believe it? Do you believe death, burial, resurrection? Have you accepted that? That's what I need to know. Not how many pies you've baked. Not how many people you've gone and visited. Not how much you've tithed. how many Sundays you went in a row without missing, none of that. He nailed it to the cross. What have you done with the finished work of the cross? Chase accepted that. When we're up there today, I will ask him, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Do you believe and accept the death, burial, and resurrection? He will confirm that by saying yes, because he has. Those are the important questions. Now, go ahead now. We're in Romans 3. Go back to Romans 3, where we are at. Go to verse 21. And we're going to look at 21 through 26. Remember, we're talking about being forgiven. And I want to say this too. There are a lot of people in the world that can forgive themselves. They say, well, I've forgiven myself for things maybe I used to do, or I've come to peace with it. But they've never asked Christ to forgive them. They've never asked Christ to come into their hearts. They've never accepted Christ. Forgiving yourself, you can forgive yourself, but that doesn't have anything at all to do with spiritual matters. You cannot forgive yourself and become saved. Okay? Your forgiveness and Christ's forgiveness are two different things. But the beautiful thing is, Christ forgives us a lot easier than we forgive ourselves. Okay, verse 21. But now apart from the law. So now he has made the statement here. We've had the law. With law comes the knowledge of sin. That's where verse 20 left off. Now verse 21. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. There's over 40 places in the Old Testament where the prophecies of the coming Messiah was prophesied, was made. So when Christ came, there were those that knew this was the Messiah. You can go back to the early parts of the gospel. Before he was born and when he was born, the angels proclaimed it. We knew this was the Messiah. This is what had been promised. Okay? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes couldn't accept it. And they would throw scripture back at Jesus because they knew what the scripture said. They knew about everything that had been prophesied. They knew that. Okay? But it is the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Not our righteousness, the righteousness of God that saves us. And there's only one way, through faith in Jesus Christ. For all those who what? Believe. There's no addition to this. Les Feldick used to say, Sharon, what? Faith plus nothing, right? Nothing else. Okay? Nothing else to it. Through faith, that's it. For there is no distinction. What's that mean? Remember the law of uncircumcision? It was for Israel only. Now he's saying it's for all of us. It's for Jew, Gentile, man, woman, boy, girl, black, white, any nationality, whoever. All you have to do is believe. I've said this. That was revolutionary at that time. If you want to know what brings people together in this divided world, two words, the gospel. Because it's available for everybody. It's the only thing in the world that's available for everybody. Everything else has constraints. It's limited. It might be how much money you have. It might be what color you are. It might be what religion you are. It might be what political party you are. It might be any of that. Who you're related to. This does it. It's the only thing in the world where there has no distinction. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Remember, he said that the law, we had all violated the law earlier, right? How? We'd all sin and come short of the glory of God. Being justified, just as we have never sinned, as a gift through his grace, through the redemption we've been redeemed, which is Christ Jesus. And I hope as we've gone over this the last few weeks, all these words make sense. When you see that, you know what they mean. You know how they apply to you. If you spoke to somebody about their spiritual condition you would know exactly what to say. You know what redemption is. You know what righteousness is. You know what salvation is. You know how to get it. Okay? How were we redeemed in Jesus Christ? Verse 25. Whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. He was the substitution on the cross. He took my sins. He died in my place. As horrible as his death was, we don't understand how bad those 3 hours were when he took everything that I had done, everything the whole world had done, and he took that on himself. Okay? The Old Testament prophecy says he would be marred beyond recognition. That the people would not even recognize him as a human after he went through all that. They couldn't tell who he was. But the same thing says he would have no broken bones. How does that happen? I think he was so disfigured, not only by everything else that happened, but by this bearing the sins, that when it was done, he was not even recognized. Think about that. You think about how much he took. Okay? I've said this. I wouldn't, and I've told you this, I wouldn't want to be God for 1 second. Can you imagine being up there and seeing everything that's going on in the world right now for 5 seconds? I couldn't handle it. I mean, I would be just permanently scarred. Okay? I couldn't do it. And he sees that every day and every second, and he just doesn't bring judgment and stop it right there. That's more love than I could understand. If I saw somebody starve a dog, I'd stop it. Okay? So that just tells you of his love and his patience. Okay? Okay, verse 25. This was to demonstrate his righteousness because in God's merciful restraint, he let the previous sins go unpunished. That's the unmerciful restraints that I'm talking about. He's never declared judgment on the earth, not even in Noah. That wasn't judgment. Those people died quickly. We'll see judgment one day on the earth, but not, we've never seen it. And he's still giving us a chance through everything we've done to come to him, to have salvation, to be forgiven. For the demonstration that is of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Well, who proclaims us just as we've never sinned? God does. Okay? Just as we've never sinned. He's had patience, and no matter how messed up the world is and everything that's going on, he can come and say, I see all of you just as you've never sinned, if you believed. We'll let bygones be bygones. Like I said, I'd be scarred. That's just something that I can't take in or recognize. I believe it, but it blows my mind how it happens. Turn to Romans 7. Remember, we're talking about being forgiven. If you're a believer, you're forgiven. Romans 7, verse 4 through 6. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you also were put to death in regard to the law. So, we talked about how the law was there, but the law couldn't save. The law could point out our sins, and we knew sin through the law. But the law, sin brought death, and the law really kind of brought death because we're aware of it. Well, guess what? We've been put to death through the law, in regard to the law. Okay, we still want to keep the Ten Commandments, but that doesn't involve whether or not I'm saved. Okay? You hear a lot of arguments now. I think Louisiana and the state legislature passed a bill where they want to put the Ten Commandments up in the classroom. And I heard an individual say, they said, well, that's a separation of church and state. And somebody said, look, that's not church per se. That's how society should operate. That has nothing to do now with whether or not we're Christians or whether or not we believe. Okay, we're dead to the law. Through what? The body of Christ. Now, we're not talking about the church. We're talking about the physical body of Jesus. What he did on the cross, and that body physically rose from the dead. Okay? So that you might belong to another. Well, who do we belong to? We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to Christ. To him who was raised from the dead, Christ. In order that we might bear fruit for God. Okay? We're not bearing fruit to be saved. We bear fruit because we are saved. Things that we do as Christians, we witness. Like I said, all the individuals who lived just a testimony and lived in front of Case, you bore fruit. All the money that was given for the Gideons 2 weeks ago, you're bearing fruit. Okay, all those Bibles that are going to go into hands that need them. There's nothing more important than somebody having a Bible or having the Word. Okay, so you're bearing fruit through God. We die, now I'm putting this in parentheses, we die to the Adamic sin nature to become alive in Christ. We were old Adam. We had a sin nature. And does that mean we don't now, that we're perfect now? Absolutely not. Okay? But it doesn't control us. We're not slaves to it now. We spoke about that last week. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions, which were brought to light by the law, were at work in the parts of our body to bear fruit for death. That's what you're doing when you're not a Christian. You're bearing fruit for death. Remember, it talks about everything that you had stacked up against you on your ledger while you were lost. It just kept piling up. It kept piling up. Even the best, cleanest living person that you've ever seen in the world. My dad was probably the most moral person I've ever met in my life. Ever. And what he said, he walked. But he sinned every day. Now, he wouldn't tell you he did. He wouldn't tell you that because you didn't do it. Okay? You were perfect. That's what he thought. But you sinned. He still had those against him. Okay? Because whether he believed it or not, he was doing it. If he had any thoughts that went through his mind. If you know to do something good and you don't do it, it's a sin. You lose your temper, it's a sin. You think something about somebody, it makes you mad. You might think something bad about them. You might get upset. Sin. Okay? We can't live that perfect life. We can be moral. But we're not perfect individuals. I'm not. Okay? So, we were bearing fruit to death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound. We were bound to the law. Okay, you remember in Acts 15 that Peter said, are we going to go back and put the yoke around your neck, around our neck by keeping the law that even our fathers, our forefathers, the prophets couldn't keep? Okay? God sees our old man as dead. He sees, you know, that guy that Vincent Coach Yarbrough other night was going, wait a minute, he's speaking at your church. That guy's dead. Now, I'm David Sisk. I'm still the same messed up me, right? But that person who had not been forgiven, who was a slave to sin, who was not redeemed, who hadn't been born again, who had not believed in the death, burial, resurrection, that individual's dead. God sees me as his righteousness. God sees all of you as his righteousness if you believe. So that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. I serve the Spirit. I serve Christ. I don't serve the law. He sees us as his righteousness. Like we said, one of the hardest things to do for young Christians is to live, and for old Christians for that matter, is to live free from guilt. What is forgiven is forgotten. Christ died once and for all for us. I don't have to go out and sacrifice a sheep or a lamb every time I sin. I don't have to do that. Christ died one time. He does not have to go back on that cross. He took care of our sins once and for all. Okay? Turn to 1 Peter 3:18. I'm coming to a close. Peter backs up what Paul is saying here. 100%. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all time. Couldn't be any plainer. The just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. What's that just for the unjust? He suffered. He was just. He suffered for the unjust, me. So that he might bring me to God, having been put to death in the flesh. That old man died. The Adamic nature, all that, the seed of Adam, that died. And now I'm made alive in the Spirit. Paul says quickened. You can look at Romans 6, verse 10, and Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, and they all say the same thing. He died once and for all. Turn to Romans chapter 4. This will be my last one. Romans chapter 4. This is so clearly stated. Okay? This is why God forgives us. This is how God forgives us. This is how God forgave Cain. And this is all, this is what he had to do. Okay? But to the one who does not work. What's that mean? I don't trust in my works. I don't trust in that. I'm not trying to work my way to heaven. I'm not basing my eternal life. If you think of the gamble, I would hate to know that I will base my eternity on how good I did something and how much I did. Okay? I can't even wash the car, Ken, without having a big dirty spot that I missed. Or can't do that. Missy's asked me before, doing stuff around the house. She says, all right, David, what exactly can you do? True story. Okay? And I'm going to base my eternal security, heaven and hell in eternity, based on how good I do something. Man, oh my Lord. It'd be awful. So he who does not work, but do what? Believes in him who justifies the ungodly. His faith is credited for righteousness. That is what Case did. He had been feeling the pull. He had been feeling that the Holy Spirit. He had been under some interrogation by the Holy Spirit. He felt that pulling. He knew that he wasn't saved. He knew that he needed to be saved. He'd been under that. He had heard it. And at Fields of Faith, on October the 6th, all he did was believe. I accept you. I believe death, burial, resurrection. I believe the finished work of the cross. I believe it. Faith, faith. And believing that Christ, yeah, I believe you came to save me. I believe you can save me. I can't save myself. That was counted for righteousness. Just as David, even in the Old Testament, David speaks of the blessing of the person to whom God credits righteousness apart from his works. Verse 7. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds. Man, lawless deeds, absolutely. I couldn't have put it better myself. Lawless deeds, I did all of us for years. All those lawless deeds have been forgiven. Have been what? Forgiven. Okay? That's what we're speaking about today. Everything I've ever done, forgiven. Every time that I came up short, every time I did something I wasn't supposed to do, every time just in outright defiance against God, forgiven. Think of the worst thing you could possibly do. I've said this before, as crazy as it sounds. If Adolf Hitler in 1945 would have been in that bunker, he said, "Lord, I can't believe I've done all this stuff. I am a sinner. I want you to save me." He would have saved Adolf Hitler, probably the worst man that's ever lived. He would have saved him. As hard as for that, we wouldn't have, but God would. That just tells you the love of God. And that goes for anybody. Well, you wouldn't believe what I've done. And you won't believe how far I've gone. You can't go far enough. God can't save you. You can't do it. And those sins who have been covered, we've been forgiven, sins covered by the blood, sealed to that day of judgment. Blessed is the man whose sin will not, future tense, will not in judgment be taken into account. Not now. Well, I don't take your sin into account now. But you know, if you do this, it's a different story. David says, no, it will not be taken into account. So we've been forgiven of everything that we've done. For those who are listening out there, and you say, you just don't know. Man, he's just waiting. He's just waiting on you to believe, for you to take that step. Anybody here, he's waiting you to take that step. If you're a Christian, you may have been a Christian a short time. You may have been a Christian for a long time, and you say, you know what? I can't get over this guilt. I can't get over what I've done. Things that I've done in the past, I'm ashamed of myself. I can't get over it. God's forgiven you for it. Forgive yourself. God's forgiven. Not only has it been forgiven, it's been forgotten. The Bible says to see a forgetfulness. It's been placed there. You can't get to it. It's done. Martha Jo?
If you will